The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Joining us today is Omar Hamdi, CEO of Pathos Communications, to discuss their recent listing on AIM, this week's trading update, and how they're using AI to transform PR for global SMEs. Omar, welcome to Vox Markets.
Thanks, Martin. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Now, before we dive into the numbers, etc., and for those who may not be familiar with Pathos Communications, can you give us a quick overview of the company, your business model, and what differentiates you? You know, what's your USP?
The USP is simple. We're doing something that has never been done before in the history of PR. PR is an old industry. The news is an old industry. There are 400 million SMEs in the world, and most of them have never been in the news, will never be in the news, don't believe that it's possible for them to be in the news. So that's our mission. And really, my dream is that you open up the FT and you've got the FTSE 100 on one page, but you've got exciting, newsworthy, unique SMEs and founder-led businesses on the next page. And that's what we do. And why is that possible when it's been impossible for the last 100-year history of the PR industry? Because it's 2026, and we've got this amazing thing called AI and this amazing thing called technology. So that's our focus.
That's great. Well, so you recently listed on AIM, and that was the end of 2025, so not that long ago, but it probably seems like an eternity ago now. What was the rationale for the listing, and why London?
So the rationale for the listing is, look, if you want to build a really big business, a business that can really transform an industry, or maybe more than transform, in a lot of ways, we're creating an industry. There isn't really an industry of how to deliver PR to small and medium-sized businesses globally at scale. That industry doesn't really exist. We're creating that industry, and we've done a pretty good job over the last 6-7 years beginning that industry. If you're trying to be that ambitious, being listed is a good thing, because it immediately says to potential and current employees, potential and current clients, potential and current publishing partners, newspapers, news organizations, that you're a top tier business. And regardless of your size, obviously as a public company, we're definitely on the smaller side, so lots and lots of potential upside for people who support us now. Regardless of your size, if you're listed in London, you are a top tier business. And then the next question, why London? Well, why not London? First of all, we're a British company. I'm a British entrepreneur, so London's a sort of natural choice. But I'm not, blindly patriotic. We looked at pretty much every market around the world, from Canada across to Hong Kong, from Stockholm down to Australia. So we really did look at everything over a couple of years. And I think the unique thing in London is you've got a top tier stock exchange, but you've got an ecosystem for growth companies, which I think is really important. So we're very happy with how things have been.
Now, you released a strong trading update for full year 2025. Can you walk us through the results and explain some of the key drivers behind that performance?
Yeah. Well, thank you, first of all. I'm very, very happy with the trading update to be releasing that news. I think it was 35 working days after our IPO to have an upgrade for both our 2025 numbers and our 2026 numbers. It's a good start. We're not patting ourselves on the back at all. It's no good, comparing yourself to the worst performers and saying, well, we haven't been a complete mess. Well done. That's not how we think. We compare ourselves to the very, very best AIM success stories, the companies that, float on AIM at a similar size to ours, and within a decade, our FTSE 250 companies. Those are the companies we compare ourselves to. So to do that, you've got to start strong. Very happy that we started strong. Very, very committed to continually under-promising and over-delivering. And we started as we mean to go on. Revenue ahead of expectations, adjusted EBITDA ahead of expectations, adjusted profit before tax ahead of expectations. I think profit before tax doubled, year on year. So strong stuff. And cash is very important. Cash collections and cash at year end ahead of expectations. Why did we do that? How did we do that? First of all, very prudent, very reasonable forecasts. And because the business has been completely bootstrapped, completely self-funded up to the IPO, there was no pressure. There wasn't an external investor saying, well, actually, Omar, if you do this IPO, it needs to be at this kind of valuation. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense for my balance sheet. There was none of that. So it was all about me as the founder saying what's best for the business. What's best for the business is coming to market at a very, very sensible valuation that we can grow from. And the business keeps getting stronger. That's the great thing about the business. It's so early that there are so many quick wins, medium speed wins, slow wins. There are so many wins for the business. And as our product range expands, as we have new strategic partnerships that we're working on, it's just going to get better and better.
So were there any particular industries or geographies that drove that growth?
You know what? That's one of the many things I love about Pathos. We are not exposed to any particular customer, any particular industry, even when it comes to geography. Most of our business comes from the US, but we've got clients in 89 countries. We are very, very de-risked and diversified. So it's really just everything getting better.
And have you seen, because of this sort of geographical spread you've got, have you seen your pricing power sort of improve because of your media relationships or because of the the AI edge that you have in the industry?
Yeah, it's interesting. We had that question yesterday at an investor presentation. Is AI, I mean, I'm paraphrasing the question, but the way I understood the question was, is AI going to allow you to lay off some people so your margins can improve? And the answer is yes, but that's not what excites me. So if we're looking at a team of 10 people, okay, this team does this function in the business. As we roll out more and more of our AI tools, are we going to be able to reduce that team from 10 to 8? Very possibly. But do you know what's exciting is can those 10 people now produce the value, the revenue, and the profits of 20 or 30 people because they're connecting with customers much better, because they're pitching to customers much better, because they're generating the perfect content at the perfect time, because it's as if each of these people have three full-time assistants running around preparing research for them. That's the exciting thing. So when we look at AI, it's really about creating new revenue channels and creating new customer relationships that would have been impossible in the old world. That's the thing that we get excited about.
And look, I appreciate we're only sort of 5 or 6 weeks into 2026, but how's the performance going so far in this new financial year?
A very strong start to the year. Like I say, we always want to under promise and over deliver. So I'm not going to throw out any numbers about how strong January was, but a good strong start to the year. And we're seeing the benefits of being listed. So it just makes everything a little bit easier. It just gives us a lot more momentum. Potential clients and existing clients love dealing with a listed company. Employees love being part of a listed company, being part of that story, benefiting from that story. And the publishers that we work with, of course, it gives them a whole new level of comfort, knowing that they're partnering with a listed business, when we submit content to them. So a great start to the year. I'm loving the new job. Very happy that we got the IPO done, and I'm loving the new job.
And just out of interest, then, in your industry, are there any sort of seasonal trends for demand in PR and media exposure that would shape or change the shape of the revenue curve for you?
There's a little bit of seasonality, and that's just around the holidays. So around Christmas and New Year's, that naturally you're going to have people, if you sign, I mean, we were signing up customers up to, I think, either the 23rd of December or maybe up to Christmas Eve. So naturally, if you sign up a client on Christmas Eve, they're not going to want to be published on Christmas Day. It doesn't typically make business sense, unless they're selling, hangover cures or whatever. But generally, they won't want to be published on Christmas Day. So you do have a little bit of a lag over the holidays, but then a lot of that then comes through in Q1, and we've seen a good start to the year. So no huge seasonality for us. It's a nice, predictable business overall.
And then, sort of looking forward into 2026, can you outline any key developments or priorities you have in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you the two things I'm personally working on with my team that really, really excite me. The first one is strategic partnerships, and we're about to announce, fingers crossed, one or two really, really big ones, and these are with big platforms. And when we say strategic partnerships, we really mean strategic. We're not talking about, someone sending of lead some this could be really, really significant stuff, and that's important because when you've got this massive, massive market, 400 million SMEs in the world, you want to get through to them as quickly as possible so you can grow as quickly as possible. That's our aspiration, and if you're doing that with partners, people who have their communities, their ecosystems, their client lists, their platforms, that can happen a lot faster. So that's something I'm really, really excited about, and we expect to be announcing some of those partnerships very, very soon. So that's one big one. The other big one is technology. So we've got two proprietary AI tools. This isn't just, someone using an off-the-shelf ChatGPT account or anything like that. These are things that we've built. That's important for the investor community to understand. We've got them to a good stage already off our own back before raising money. So we've got Pathos Mind, our AI agent stack, and Procella, the virtual publicist. And both of these tools are being used daily within Pathos as internal tools. They're not quite as bug-free, hallucination-free, as perfect as they need to be for us to release them to the world. But we would certainly hope and plan that, by the end of this year or the very latest beginning of next year, we're going to be saying to the world, you can have a publicist, you can have a full-time publicist, and Priscilla can do what she does internally for us, and what she's been doing internally for us for some time, showing up to Zoom meetings like this, emailing article ideas and article drafts to the participants of the meeting, looking at Martin's LinkedIn and Omar's LinkedIn, and seeing whenever we post something newsworthy, taking that as an opportunity to pitch us a story and hopefully get that story published. So those two big, big things for me, strategic partnerships, so we can go deeper into this massive, massive market, and to do that faster. And then the second one is technology. And you can quite easily imagine, making up the numbers here, if we have 100,000 prospects using Procella every week, you've now got a 100,000 person sales team that you don't need to pay basic salaries to. So you can see why I'm so animated and excited about this.
Yes, indeed. So, are you exploring any new verticals or client types? I mean, government, enterprises? I mean, it sounds like you're boundless energy there.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, in terms of clients, we are really focused on the small and medium-sized business, the mid-market. However, the broad church. I think the official definition of SME is everything from one employee to 250 employees. So we are constantly working on new niches within that. One of the things we're working on and expanding is our offering for smaller listed companies. And actually being listed helps with that. Just yesterday, a London listed business that 100% everyone watching this has heard of came through to us through that sub brand that we have, Small Cap PR. So that's something we're working on. Product range, always auditioning and trialing new products. And again, some very, very successful internal experiments with some new products, new revenue channels, so we can just offer more and more and more to our customers. Within the PR space, we don't want to just do everything. We don't want to be a digital agency. I think there are enough of those in the world. Thank you very much. But some very, very exciting and successful internal experiments. And again, very, very soon, as soon as it comes to fruition, we're going to be announcing that to the market.
Well, Omar, thank you so much for your time. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Okay. Thanks, Martin.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.